Blog Talk Radio.
This program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Basically, the 1% of the motorcycle community who operates outside the law.
Their total focus is on danger for the enemy. They have a policy of shoot or kill on sight if they can.
It's bullshit. Law enforcement just tries to paint this picture to the media and just cover up their bullshit, cover up their lies, and I just like to say fuck them. That's straight from Mike P. Jump on your bike. Let's...
Well, hello, Bill.
Hey, everybody. This is Bill Kennedy. First of all, hello to you, too. Bill Kennedy, fresh out of the hospital, back on his Harley-Davidson, back on the air. I think everything's good to go. Last week, Phil and I were up at about 120 miles from our home at a big party. I seem to survive that okay. This weekend, we have the Easy Rider Bike Show.
Correct.
For anybody in the L.A., Anaheim area of Southern California, looking forward to seeing you in person. A lot of people send me notes and messages. I appreciate that. I will look forward to anybody up there. I hope you have a good time. Then after that, I'm looking to do more rides, more runs, meet more people again. So anybody wants to call in, let's just talk about what's happening across America. By the way, did anybody miss me at all? Anybody?
Hang on. Hello, 708.
Hello, Bill. Yes, we did miss you very, very much, and I'm so glad that you're back.
I appreciate it.
Because now we don't have to always pick on Phil. And we missed you and your Dr. Love. Okay.
Well, we appreciate that. Just to recap, I'll tell everybody's story one time. I went to Las Vegas. In fact, Philly and I were there in Las Vegas, and we're partying with a nice club, the Iron Crossman.
Correct.
Nevada, Las Vegas. Very nice people. Went out of the way to entertain us. We rode the bikes home. I went to work the very next day because I never take time off work. The day after that, I didn't feel so good. I decided to stay home, which I never do. The day after that, I still didn't feel I want to go to work, so the wife said, let's go see my local physician, my primary care, and you might need a flu shot or something. I said, all right. I got dressed, went out to the driveway where the cars are, and I don't know anything after that. I never passed out. I never went down, but I don't remember the drive to see my doctor. I don't remember anything about talking to my doctor. Them rushing me to the ambulance, to the hospital, I don't remember that. Checking into the hospital, I don't remember that. The only thing they told my wife was, this was late afternoon, he will not survive until nighttime. He's too far gone. They did emergency surgery on me. What happened was my kidney stones had blocked both kidneys. My body was filled with poisons. So I drilled through my kidneys, drained all the poison out of me, 3 weeks in a coma or whatever it was. I retaught myself how to walk, everything, get out of the hospital, and everything's back to normal. In fact, I have no problems whatsoever. They said, just live your life normal. Just try to ease it up a little bit until you get more strength back. My my iron in my blood is in there strong. But I had to get out of the hospital because I woke up. They had braided my hair on both sides. And I wanted to know what the hell that was for. And they said, well, if you lay down in a coma, hair gets all knotted up, matted up, and they have to. This is a way you can fix it, but cut it. So they did me a favor, and I thanked them for that. And then I reached down, I kind of rubbed my chest, and the hair in my chest was gone. A little metal thing sticking in there. I said, where'd my hair go? Bill, we had to put these things in us, so we had to shave your hair. So I said, who shaved my hair? Little cool, little Puerto Rican guy was so happy to tell me he shaved my hair, lucky me. And then I went in, and the second day I went in to take a shower. And out of my male organ, I had two stents, which they didn't tell me about either. And after I found the two stents, and they kind of gave me not quite a bikini cut down below, but pretty tight. I got to get out of here.
That's just too much information.
Get out of here.
That's too much information.
And the little Cubano, a Puerto Rican guy, excuse me, one great nurse, he wanted to shave my, trim my beard every day, and I'm going, no, I don't think so. So as soon as I could, I started walking, and 90-day bed rest became 30-day bed rest, became 10 days, and I'm done with all these people altogether. So like I said, I got the motorcycle. It actually took me 2 days to get the bike up off the kickstand. the weight factor and the fact that I lost all the blood. But after 2 days, I got the bike up, and once I got the bike off the kickstand, I started riding, and back to work every day. I ride the bike every day. Phil and I are all back to normal stuff. So, again, anybody that wants to know, that is what happened. If anybody called the shop up, the only message we gave them was Bill took a sick day. I just didn't want people worried about me. But most people did call in.
Well, too late because we were.
Well, I appreciate that. I did. I want to give special thanks to
They were killing me.
I want to give special thanks to the two major motorcycle clubs that both want to come down to the hospital. And I had to send a message to them, please send me any messages to my shop. I can't have both you guys in the corridor at the same time. It'll turn the hospital into a circus, and then if they blow up, what a crazy place that'll happen. So I thank the clubs that send the messages and the flowers and all the stuff to the bike shop. And respect to the fact that I try to keep the hospital somewhat orderly. Gave me my last rites. Oh, yeah, lived. You found you get last rites.
Three times, wasn't it?
They gave me a Catholic priest, gave me a couple times, and they got this Protestant minister. He came in, gave me last rites. When I recovered, I said, well, why don't you all give me a Jewish rabbi, too? Let's just cover all the damn bases. Couldn't find one, but very strange to lose 3 weeks out of your life and not know what happened at all. Strange to wake up and find your hair and braids and find out you've been shaved down below. That's kind of strange, too, boys and girls. I mean, I woke up, you know, with a girl overnight, not remembered a lot of things, but 3 weeks. Oh, shit. Oh, my God.
Well, I had
Scripps Hospital in San Diego. There's hospitals, and I was at the one in Encinitas, and anybody who knows those people down there, I give them a lot of respect. They, after the doctors wrote me off, it actually was the nurses who just hung in there and kept pounding away, making sure I could do everything to recover and get out of the place. So I thank all the nurses, the male and female nurses, for that. And the doctor, I mean, he did save my life, but what the hell. And anyway, I will wrap it up with this. My Irish grandmother, who's long passed away, she said to me, I'm still here because God's not done with me yet. I have no idea what my purpose of being here is. I don't worry about that, but once a year I wonder, when am I going to do something in my life? My grandma's always said, God's not done with you yet, Bill, so just hang in there. I'd like to think that I've accomplished a lot, but I don't know. I think all of us are waiting for the one big thing. You know, I've helped major clubs, truces, I've been in Mexico, I've done a lot, but I think all of us want to know we've done one super special thing, and I'm still waiting for that, so maybe...
You're keeping me out of trouble.
Yeah, that's a full-time job. Honest to God, boys and girls, I'm not going to elaborate. The short time I've been in the coma, you ought to see the shit that he's gotten into. We're not going to talk about it on the air, because that's one of the reasons we'll be up in the Easy Rider Bike Show, talking to some of the people. Ladies, gentlemen, I want you to understand, Philip Hennigan is a handful of trouble.
Wait, no, this.
You're going to get me killed.
No, I'm the one keeping you alive.
We already know this.
Yeah. Phil and I are looking forward to we got a couple more runs coming up, and we're kind of kicking around, but getting ready. Time for Mexico, what do you think?
Yeah.
Pretty soon. I'm ready to go down to Mexico again.
They already sent us an invitation.
I love America. I would never leave America. I've traveled around the world. But I'm going to tell you, if you want to go for a wild weekend, eat Mexico. See, if you get in trouble, you pay the police off a little bit. I don't have a problem with that. That's the way they do business. In America, you get in trouble, you get a ticket, you got to go to court, da-da-da-da-da, lawyers. Never mind. You do something wrong in Mexico, we agree on a price, we pay the price, out the door. Kind of have a nice way to do things.
Interesting.
It is.
But I'm so glad you're back. Yay.
Oh, my God. Stacy's out there today? Am I hearing Stacy out there? In the?
I'm right here. I didn't know I was unmuted.
You just jump in anywhere you want, buddy, because it's good to hear everybody's.
It's about time we get Mr. Awesome back on this show, because Phil, he's good and all, but like you said, he's just a boatload of trouble. Don't know what we're going to do with him.
bike runs. By the way, Kennedy's Custom Cycles in Oceanside, we had our toy run this year. And, of course, Phil, we're all down there. We had 400 motorcycles. And I was doing pretty good. But the day I get out of the hospital, I lost 40 pounds. I'm on a cane. I'm snow white. I stopped by
the
bike shop.
You're snow white anyway.
I'm always snow white anyway. But I forgot I had a run with the Legacy Vets, the Vietnam Vets, and the Res Riders, Indian Motorcycle Club. There was hundreds of them at my shop, and I got out of the truck looking like death's door. Were running up to me, hugging me, freaking out. I looked bad. I really did. But from 220, I went down to 180 in the hospital, and I'm back up to about 195. So what's the word? Svelte? Is that the word I want? Trim? Svelte. No, I'm not stealth. Svelte. Yeah. Svelte. Is that right, boys and girls? Is the word I want svelte?
Majestic. Awesome.
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you. But like I say, everything's good. So second day out of the hospital, I have no strength. I've lost 40 pounds. Some gentleman drops his motorcycle. He's pinned underneath the motorcycle. There's nobody around but me. So I got my cane. I'm limping around the side. I put the bike in gear so it won't roll on me. I put the kickstand down. I go around the other side of the bike. The pipe is burning into his leg. I pick the bike up, and I balance it on my knees, and I tell him to crawl out from the motorcycle. Instinctively, he reaches up and grabs a seat in the frame and pulls down on the motorcycle while he's trying to pull out. I was passed out. I called him every name in the book, and I said, crawl the blankety blank out. He came out, then I picked the bike up, and I put it in the kickstand. But I swear to God, sweat came pouring out of my head. I'm holding the stupid motorcycle up, and he's pulling down on the bike. He didn't mean to do it, but it was just crazy. But all's good. The bike's running good. Phil's bike's running good. Everybody's doing good. We do have a short message from friends of ours, the Rough Riders out of San Diego. One of their boys died on Christmas Day, I believe it was. A drunk driver crossed over, killed him.
I told them
that I'd pass the information on, and Phil and I will be going to have a little memorial, I guess. I think it's next month. I don't have the date in front of me. I'm sorry about that. We'll see what we can do to just stop by and show a little unity. It's not going to be a bike run. We're going to go to their clubhouse and just kind of, you know, hug each other, remind each other how short life is and how quick you got to go and don't take nothing for granted. Anyway, so that's enough for the philosophy for today. If you got it, grab it. So, we've got the, I'm hoping there's a friend of mine, Sugar Bear. He's a famous bike builder. Many of you do not know him. He's been around. He's a motorcycle rider who happens to be black. I'm saying this because back in the 70s and the 80s, when I first started meeting this guy, they'd put his motorcycles in the magazine. But they wouldn't put his picture.
Yeah.
And it's taken this man a long time to get some of his dues. I'm going to see him next weekend up at the Easy Rider Bike Show. But I asked him about that. I said, you know, all these Johnny-come-latelys, Jesse James, Tuttles, you've been doing it forever. And he told me that even if he was a filthy rich millionaire, he would still be building motorcycles. So money's not the issue. He never gave up on the motorcycles and the motorcycle world. Now, his best friend, unfortunately, another black man, built the motorcycles for the movie Easy Rider.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know this because the fact was never talked about. This black guy built the motorcycle magazines, built the motorcycles for the movie, never got credibility. He died not that long ago. He expatriated to Mexico, lived on a boat in Ensenada. Money was out the door. He passed away without anybody really knowing what he did. So that's another one of those things about life's too short, folks. Life's too short.
We got to say hello to Martin.
Martin, how are we doing tonight, buddy?
Hey, how's everybody doing?
We're doing just fine. We just appreciate what's going on out there. Where's Martin
calling from?
Martin, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Los Angeles.
Oh, okay. You going to do the Easy Rider show this weekend at all?
I'll be there.
Well, good.
I'll
all right,
be
good.
Are you guys going to be there?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Yes, we will.
So what's going on, guys? I didn't talk to you guys for a while.
Not much. Bill, well, a few minutes ago, Bill explained where he's been, but we almost lost him. He got last rites three times from...
I was in a coma, but I woke up, got out of the hospital. I'm riding my bike. Everything is just fine.
Yeah, I heard. I'm glad you're doing better. Bill was telling me about that. I'm glad you're doing a lot better. I'm glad to hear that.
Boy, they kept telling me, how could you live with the pain? There was no pain at all. I was healthy as a horse, and I came home in a coma. But we've already talked about that, and I don't want to drag that to the ground and all that.
I got you.
Yeah, I had... Good, Martin.
Well, we're doing the Easy Rider show, just so you know. We got some big things planned for this year regarding my charity group, but... just to let you guys know, we do have a date. Everybody's been asking me already. We do have a date for the Rosarito Run coming up. It's going to be on July the 13th. So if you want to call and book your rooms, you can go ahead and do that. Or go to my website. The website is getting redone, so it should be revamped. I'd say by the end of the month. And but just if you want to reserve or to get your vacation request in, it's going to be for July 13th. So... Make sure you
Martin, you did it. You gave us a good deal on a hotel last year. Was it real good? Was it Rosarito Resort and Hotel? Or
same
hotel or what?
Yeah, that's what it's going to be.
That's a 5-star hotel. I got no problems with that at all. Real nice people.
So do you have a flyer yet or no?
No. It's being created. Like I said, it's pretty January, but the flyers will be in production passing out by Tuesday. By February.
Okay.
And we wanted to get a jump on that because once we made the Easy Rider show magazine and we made the the Hot Bike magazine and I believe Revolution magazine and I believe another magazine, Wrench magazine.
Right.
I got people already emailing me from last year, giving them the date because they're coming all the way from North Carolina, Pennsylvania this year. So I'm looking forward to it this year.
Martin, if you would you tell us a little bit of what your organization is and what's it about? I mean, Philip and I know, but tell all the listeners
okay.
if you would.
Sure, no problem. Basically, what we're doing now is we help the underprivileged kids, not only in Rosarito and Baja, but also in our own backyard, whether it be San Diego, whether it be L.A. Unfortunately, we only do national, when I say national, I say annual events because we can't do all. I can't save the world, but I can save what I can. And what we can do, we try to give back school supplies to the kids. We try to give back if they need money with sports attire. We give them soccer balls. I mean, I'm not just saying a couple. I'm talking enough for about 500 kids. We just finished our toy run this December, which is fantastic. I took toys to the projects in downtown L.A., and we're able to take toys for 300 kids. And then plus that, we're also able to help out the fire department with Spark the Love with another 400 or 500 toys. So we're able to help out two different organizations. So what I'm doing this year, I'm upping the bar. And we're going to have, I don't know if you heard of the Skid Row running downtown. I'm going to have the same thing. But we're going to have the same thing, but we're going to have it in downtown. We're going to block off streets, have a mini concert, give something back to the bikers. You know, we're going to have a beer garden, and we're going to have a couple of entertainment. So not only will you be able to drop off the toys, you'll be able to give them yourself to the actual kids. And, you know, and... interact with the kids and go enjoy some good music at the park and I got some big things planned for this year.
Martin, let me ask you something, if you would. You probably heard during the Christmas time we had 400 people in my shop for our toy run Christmas party. We raised all kind of clothing, everything for Brother Beano's, which is an organization to help the street people. I know what it costs, what a time to organize this, set chairs up, tables up, food, et cetera, et cetera. I know how much it's on me. People to know, why are you doing this? You don't get enough credit. We know you're involved with and all that. Motivation.
You know what?
Don't get shy of me now, goddammit. Tell us what you're doing.
Well, actually, I friends, and a lot of it comes out of my own pocket. I save, I mean, it takes me about 3 months to promote any good event. From without promoting, you don't got nothing. You got to promote the event. Luckily, it's becoming easier and easier for me. Because one thing people know that I'm doing the actual event, you know, people show up. And I'm very proud of that. And but to answer your question, most of the money comes by out of my pocket or donations. The only problem with that is I hate to ask people. So I throw it out there. Hey, this is what it's going to take to do this event. If you want to donate, hey, here's my number. Give me a call. And they actually go to my events, so they actually see where the money is going. So it makes that part a little easier for me.
Martin, you circumvented my question. We want to know what makes you spend so much time, never mind the money factor, never mind what makes you so motivated that you give all your time away from your family and everything, away from your job? What makes Martin tick? He wants to do all this for the community. We want to hear about that.
I've been lucky my whole life. I've had a good upbringing. My mom and dad. I still love, thank God, knock on wood, I still have them both. And I don't think that any kid should be brought up without both their parents or at least a good parent. Because there's kids in the street out there that need our help. There is really kids out there that I know a lot of them that their parents don't give a shit. You know, they just don't give a shit about them, and they just want to leave them wandering the streets. And what happens when that happens? It trickles down, and then those kids are getting into trouble and just start doing mischief and end up behind bars. And that's what I'm trying to avoid. If I could save a couple of kids on my own, well, I'll do it. And that's why I do it. And that's why it takes a lot out of me, you know, away from my family and stuff. But my family understands that I'm not doing nothing wrong out there. I'm just trying to help another individual who can't help themselves.
Well,
hey,
good.
Are you at Marasco's Kingfish?
How the heck did you know that?
We got cameras. We got
don't
cameras.
Worry about it, brother. I got an eye on you.
Yeah, we got cameras in the men's room too, and the ladies' room too.
Oh, my wife's laughing. Because I just tell you, like, you guys, it scared me for a minute. I was looking up at the video camera right now. Yeah, we're actually having dinner right now.
Okay.
So,
no, and I appreciate you guys coming in.
Yeah.
And the other thing I wanted to ask was whatever you got.
I promise I'll call and check in with you guys. So, Happy New Year. So, I'm doing that.
Hey, Martin, for a lot of people are listening to our show, of course, out of state, out of country. They can't make it out here. How can they get in contact and maybe send a small donation or something?
I'll tell you how. My email is, my personal email is eljefe@yahoo.com. And that's my email. And I'll give you all the information once you email me. Maybe you can help me, if not with funds, if I'm doing a charity event for let's say bikes, maybe you can help me out with bikes. Or maybe you can help me out with balls, or maybe you can help me out with clothing, whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever it is that I'm doing that month or that year. So that's how you can help me out, if not a cash donation. But I'll break everything down for you when you send me an email. And you can always go to my website, which is rollingdeep4andcharities.com.
All right.
So, thank you guys. Like I said, I'll call you guys back maybe on Thursday and we'll follow up with this. Like I said, I'm having dinner, but I just wanted to call and say hi to everybody and check into you guys, okay?
All right, thank you. We appreciate it. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, so guys. I'll talk to you guys soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You know, he's doing this on a grand scale. I just want to tell everybody that.
I'm trying to figure out how we know where he's at.
Oh, wait, there you go. You ain't getting information up there. But, you know, you can be in Tennessee, you can be in Georgia, you can help out your own community. You don't have to do it in such a big scale as he is. He's a promoter. He's everything with that. Comes out of his pocket, like he said. But just take the time to help somebody in your own neighborhood. As I say, just help one person and all that. And try to knock on your neighbor's doors and say hello to them. Why we don't have more content. When I grew up, we knew everybody in my neighborhood. You the same way, Philly.
Same way.
Chicago. You know everybody in your neighborhood. We're getting a little more separated and all that. Here's a man doing tremendous things. Maybe we can all help a little bit, you know. Okay. That was Martin, and he's with Rolling Deep for Charities. How do we say his last name correctly? Because I don't want to mispronounce
it. Resendez.
Resendez. I didn't want to mispronounce it, you know. And he is a motorcycle rider, definitely. He doesn't do this for publicity. He's just giving back to his community, which is children. And I like the fact that he supports Phil and my philosophy. We go down to Mexico a lot, and we help the orphanages. And I hear a lot of flack from people, well, why don't you guys help more in America? We help a lot
in
America.
We help everybody.
But I'm telling you, if you get some little kid...
You'd be surprised how many people hit us up that aren't legit.
Everything.
Aren't legit.
But if you... These kids born in Mexico, they're kids. What the hell does a kid know about what side of the fence he's born on, you know?
Exactly.
There's no way you can't help but love the children. Maybe we can steer some of them away from ending up like you and I.
Yeah.
More like Martin. What are you pointing at there? I'm looking at distance over here.
Oh, well, our friend Paul has finished his 1941 Harley-Davidson knucklehead from a bomber back to a World War II stock. So he's going to have it at the Grand Nationals Bike Show in Pomona on the 27th, or 25th through the 27th.
No, that's right after the Easy Rider show.
That's correct. End of the month,
yeah.
Though.
He hangs out with a lot of good people we know up there.
That's correct.
Emilio. Yeah. I didn't know about that show at Pomona. I usually it's on my calendar. But again, I have been out of touch for a little
bit. And I don't have a chance to do all the things I need to do.
Well, it was nice before we could separate. You do one, I do one. But,
yeah, not lately.
Yeah, no. And we have the next events we have to do are really kind of important. We'll be there together to discuss things. A lot of things that Philip and I discussed at an event may not come to fruition until about 2 or 3 or 4 months later. But sometimes setting these events up, it's not just let's get together and do something. It takes a lot of publicity, it takes permits, it takes all this crap that I really don't even enjoy doing. But I've accepted the fact that we're going to help. We got to fight within the system. The old days of us being outlaws and going down and getting drunk and crazy, well, that's gratifying myself. But if we're going to help the kids, and that's what we're trying to do these days, and help the people on the street, especially the vets, we have a big event coming up in April.
Right.
And I was just at the Mount Soledad Veterans Memorial Center, and I'm going to have a speaker come in. So when we go for the VA hospital to Mount Soledad, I'm going to have a speaker to tell us about all the people who gave their lives to keep us free in America. So that's going to be kind of a nice touch. We'll let you know more about that going on with that.
Right.
So.
And then the other thing, Bill, is, you know, the new California motorcycle exhaust law starts.
Oh, man.
Starts.
Wow. Yeah.
2013. Yeah. So it's for anybody that knows and you're out of state, it's coming to a state near you. And the next thing this broad's probably going to do, because she won re-election, is we're going to have to smug our motorcycles, Bill.
Hopefully we're going to grandfather it, but it's going to get us all
right.
Well, the state of Arizona, everybody's going to smog it now.
Right.
California has followed Arizona because it's so much money.
Yep.
But they haven't got the right equipment. But California's pushing now. It's all about revenue enhancement.
Right.
Give us your stinking money.
And the motorcycle, if you're pulled over for a traffic violation, you can be cited for illegally noisy exhaust pipe. A first violation could result in a fine of $50 to $100, a fixing ticket that could be dismissed with proof of correction. Subsequent offenses would result in fines from $100 to $250. So, in addition to this law, requires aftermarket motorcycle exhaust systems made on or after January 1st, 2013, to display that EPA sticker
right.
We talked about. And, well, they call it the emissions label, and therefore applies to individuals who seek to replace the exhaust system on affected street bikes. Apparently, thousands of motorcycles first tried to oppose the California bill. And then to urge Schwarzenegger to reject it. Many EPA levels were very difficult to locate on the motorcycle. This law could lead to a flurry of tickets for motorcycles who have legal exhaust systems with EPA labels on their machines that can't be easily seen, which is when we talked about the highway patrol or whoever pulls
right.
over. You're doing 60 or 70 miles, and you're doing 70, 75 miles an
mm-hmm.
hour. That fucking bike's too hot to get down and grab a hold of
exactly.
look or something.
Exactly. And they're letting the police officers be, letting their ears be used as instruments of expertise. You think it sounds too loud? I'm getting a ticket.
Well,
by the way, this since January, two of our friends at Taylor, but five guys have gotten tickets for aftermarket pipes because the cops don't understand this. They think everybody, after
right.
January 1st, so they're just bouncing everybody left and right.
Right.
police officers, read the law a little more carefully, if you will.
It's unreasonable to expect a law enforcement officer to easily locate an EPA label.
Yeah.
And it's simply unfair to expect a motorcycle owner to partially dismantle an exhaust system along the roadside to prove the label exists. Violators face fines for $100 for first offense and $250 for the subsequent. California judges have the discretion to dismiss the fine for first-time offenders if the violation is corrected. That ain't going to happen.
No.
Also, a violation is considered a secondary offense, meaning a police officer can't stop a motorcycle solely because the officer believes the motorcyclist is breaking the sound emissions law, but the five guys you're talking about,
that's right.
That's what they did.
That's right.
Because they don't know the law. And the motorcycle checkpoint thing, it goes into effect that they can't do it.
They're not supposed to stop motorcycles.
Now here you got two things. First, this gave them probable cause to pull you over.
Yeah.
Now they have to find out where the label is and all that bullshit. So you're going to be out.
But they still pull us over for drug checkpoints.
Exactly.
And that happens all the time in our local town. We're pulled in for alcohol, DUI checkpoints. Check your bike all at the same time. Now, if in California, Southern California, you are getting a ticket for questionable pipes, we have got friends of ours that have equipment that they can check, can't they?
Yes.
And you want to tell them who they are, maybe? Or?
No, because one passed away, and I'm not
well,
sure if
you know,
I'm doing it.
Yeah, we'll hold off a little bit
on that.
Another recent death, so we'll try to get back to everybody on that, because that one person's got a lot on their plate right now.
Right.
So. Patty Page died. If you don't know Patty Page, she sang "How Much Is That Doggy in the Window?" And one of my favorites, the Tennessee Waltz. She passed away, lived just down the street from us in Encinitas. Nice girl. We're not far from Ravi Shankar.
No.
Yeah, he also lived in Encinitas. He passed away, too. Just a little bit of trivia there, boys and girls.
We got another caller. Hello, 562.
I hope it's not Patty Page calling. I'll get scared.
562?
Yep. This would be Opal.
Hey. Bill Kennedy, we haven't heard from you in a long time.
Yeah. Speaking of haven't heard from me, how are you doing?
Doctor tells me I'm stronger than yesterday. I'll be better off tomorrow. They got a few things with my blood. I don't have enough iron in my blood, but there's absolutely nothing I need to do to be concerned about. Live my lifestyle the way I've lived my life, so that's okay. Thank you for asking.
Well, I spoke with Phil earlier, and he told me I was supposed to call and read you the riot act.
That isn't what I said. I said bust his balls.
Oh, bust his balls. All right. I was trying to be more suave about it. But, yeah, I'm supposed to bust your balls. I'm out here in Nebraska. It's actually Nebraska, Iowa area. I'm staying in Council Bluffs, Iowa, which is right on the state line. I've attended a couple of the abate meetings out here for the Iowa abate, Western Iowa abate. And they've got some stuff going on out here. I really want to hook them up with you guys and our California bait, because I've kind of noticed there's a lot of pros with them, but I also see a lot of areas where they really could use some improvement, and most of it has to do with proper communication and getting the right materials, not just focusing on what they're looking at their legislature, but nationwide, and what the nationwide and all the other bait chapters and everybody, what they're doing to kind of consolidate even more so it's stronger. But I've been telling them, you know, check out your radio show and everything. I'm going to put up some flyers with your times and the dates that you're going to be broadcasting. Try to get more of them to tune into you guys.
Well, we appreciate that. I've always considered that. You know, personally, all the political organizations sometimes rub me wrong. I wish we could come together stronger as a unit. And I know some
politicians
have one agenda or another. But just think, boys and girls, that we could just come together under one banner. If we could find the one motorcycle leader in America, if we could just get behind that banner, boy, we'd be strong. But I go to different political meetings.
I thought that was you and Phil.
No, honey. The bar has to be set much, much higher than me and Phil. I promise you that. I spoke many times, and they've suggested that it's got to be a lot higher than that. Any man or woman out there, we're waiting for you to step forward. I attend political meetings, and we got no time for in-house fighting and bullshit. You're running for office, and you got to badmouth your other person. Yamaha Kawasaki Suzuki. We got to come together.
Yeah, that's the thing that I did see. It was, it's like, it's not about what genre bike you ride, what sport it is. It's about the riders as a whole. And, you know, the little nitpicking and hint sessions and everything like that, that needs to stay out of the meetings. That needs to stay completely away, because that gets everything completely off track and off course and what the actual agenda is supposed to be. What I'm going to try to do on my end is I'm going to be coming back in March to Southern California for a while. I'm planning on attending the Purdue anniversary and some other stuff that are going to be going on. But prior to that, I'm going to, along with myself, there are some new owners and some business owners out here. One man in particular, his name is Ed. He owns three venues out here, the Barfly in Omaha, Nebraska, and also Goofy's here in Council Bluffs. And they are neutral to any and all cuts and colors and everything. And they are willing to work with me and doing a couple little bike shows, but mostly it's for what's on the national level, see what the COCs have going on, and, you know, work together as one united group, and, you know, but just have a division out here started. Because as far as I've experienced, I have yet to meet a COC member out here. And I'm just kind of in shock and awe. I'm considering, you know, how I always matriculate, you know, with everybody, and not one COC member has actually stepped up out here. And so that's kind of something that I'm trying to get some more information from, and I thought maybe you guys can maybe have Philip forward me something for our closest local, I think, is going to be Illinois. So that's kind of something that I'm trying to look into out here. But we've got a huge, huge riding community out here. The thing is, Nebraska has a helmet law. Iowa does not. So I'm leaning more towards having my events in Iowa so we can actually get more riders to attend. Because anything we do in Nebraska, the Iowa riders, you know, they're like, there's a helmet law, we're not going. So, but, and anything that's going on, anybody who's traveling across country, if you're coming from the East Coast heading west, swing on by, we're right off I-80. Anybody heading west traveling east, swing on by, we're right off I-80. Just if there's anything that you guys would like to forward on to me, or anything that you guys need help and would like for me to do as far as getting your message out, everything, just keep hitting me on Facebook. I do see them. I may not always, you know, answer or respond, but I do see them. And so, Philip, keep it up.
All right.
You know, we've said over and over that the message is more important than the messengers.
That's correct.
And Philip and I, we got big egos.
That's what it is.
But the idea is
big eagles, but
we're talking about how can we come together. We got to put that behind us. Yeah, I'll shake a Honda rider's hand, a Ducati rider's hand. Philip and I start for everybody broke down. I wave at people on metric motorcycles, and I see they're scared to wave back at me. Of all people,
yeah,
you're on another motorcycle. Wave back at me. Stick your two fingers down if you want. You know, keep it on the road, or stick your finger up in the air. I don't care what you're doing, but we've got to help each other out. As long as we stay fragmented, we'll be treated as second-class citizens. There are enough of us. If we come together, we can have our own political party. I have no political aspirations. The point I'm trying to make is that we have got numbers. We can have strength. We can make changes. But we're arguing among ourselves, and I don't know how to get over that. I've never been a political. Philip and I are community activists, and there's a difference. We want to help our community. Those people running for the politics and all that, I listen to them all, and somebody's got to be a politician, but it's not for Philip and I. But there is somebody out there, a man or a woman, listen to this show, a man or a woman, if they would step up to the plate and be honest about it, we would support you. Metric rider, Harley rider, man or woman, we will support you. We got to find that one person. I don't know how to do it.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Ladies, how would you do it?
I put them all asleep. See that? Back in the air, they all went to sleep.
No.
Oh, God, Bill's on the political soapbox again. They all went to sleep on me.
Yeah. Nope, I was sitting there seeing if Nora was going to comment first. I'm trying to be, you know, nice. I don't, you know, with the political stuff, with the biker community coming together, I'm in total agreement to that, absolutely. But the problem is that you got too many headstrong people, and one person's always wanting to lead, namely that boils down to about 100 people always wanting to lead, and nobody wants to follow. And, you know, the biggest thing is like you say 99.999% of the time is that, you know, we all have to work together. But, you know, nowadays it just doesn't seem that anybody wants to work together. You know, it's always people are at odds or a difference of opinion, and nobody can respect somebody else's opinion because it's a little bit different than your opinion. And, you know, it's like people got to change their attitudes, got to change their ways, you know, and change is tough all the way around, but change can be a very positive thing.
I just don't know how to resolve it, because there are times that Philip and I would show up for some political meeting and I see the speakers actually tone down the rhetoric. My personality, Phil's personality, it's prevalent when we show up. It shouldn't make any difference because we're not politicians. I'm here because I'm interested in what you have to say, but more often than not, I'm hearing people saying, I did this, and I did that, and I brought this bill, and I don't want to, you know, we have got to figure together. Now, I said to you a second ago that I would support metric rider, European rider, man or woman. Do you think I'm too far out by saying that there could possibly be a woman leading the whole motorcycle community in America?
You know, I wouldn't care if it was man, woman, black, Chinese, American, Indian. I don't have a preference when it comes to that. I just have one qualification. It doesn't even matter education, but have some wisdom, have some smarts, know some respect, be courteous, you know, mannerisms, etc. And, you know, you catch more flies with honey than you do vinegar. And it all boils down to if you can carry a conversation and you can be intelligent about it and, you know, not be yelling and screaming and standing on your soapbox screaming, you know, look at me, you're going to get people to pay attention, you know, and you just... I don't know. I don't have a preference as long as somebody, you know, has a little bit of smarts about them.
When I'm on stage speaking about something, and I know I can't be long-winded, if they got some dead time they want me to roll, I can roll for a long time. But I don't speak about what I've done. I don't speak of what Philip's done. We're talking about paralyzed veterans. I'm talking about the VA hospital. I'm talking about the homeless people. I'm talking about the subject. We, Philip and I, truly try to put the subject before us. It's not about what we are doing. We're not doing any more than anybody else is doing. But when I listen to some of our leaders, and I know Philip's going, no, don't go there. I'm going to go there. When I listen to our political leaders in the motorcycle community, sometimes it's just too much about what they have done. I'm not getting complaints yet, am I? I don't mean to be. But anybody mad at me?
Even with your politicians, you talk about the motorcycle community, okay, and even with the regular politicians that govern the United States or leaders of, let's say, the local pottery club, you always have, unfortunately, somebody in that mix that doesn't want to listen to the topic at hand and wants to get on their soapbox and stop, you know, bickering and fighting and everything else. And that's the real problem. If people could just, you know, calm down and give people a chance, I think that a lot of things could work so much better.
What we can't figure out is people call us or they email us a lot. A lot of people don't say to my face, oh, Bill and Phil, they're too radical, they're too crazy. And yet some of our leaders, what have they done to us? They said to me, Bill and Phil, you're too liberal.
Yeah.
I'm the same person. It's how you
interpret
what I'm saying. Oh, yes. One person, one of our motorcycle leaders, I hope he's listening, he said, you're progressive. I don't know if that was a compliment or an insult.
Progressive? Like the soup? Progressive?
No, what the hell? I don't know. I say the same thing. As a community activist, I promise everybody, what I say on a Tuesday, I mean the same thing on Thursday. I'm not a politician. Not change my the way the tide blows, or the wind blows, rather, or tide comes in or any other horseshit. We try to say what's on our minds, but the amount of feedback we get on the show, I get called, Philip and I get called, everything. I'm saying, I said a statement, but people, they go whole different ways with it. Important thing is, if you don't like what I'm saying, get on your own little soapbox. Again, you don't have to do grand things. Just help one person. Make a change in your community. If you got a stop sign in the bad place, get rid of the stop sign. Get a bigger stop sign. I don't know what the situation is there. You can do a lot. And, you know, I found this out, and Philip, you can argue this or not. I find most of the work's being done by the women riders anyway.
Correct.
Not necessarily women riders, women in the motorcycle community. I find they're doing more of the work, and some of these leaders that you and I go listen to, the guy speaking, but all the homework and everything is being done by the
women.
I'm the secretary on this and all. They're doing all the work, so I got no problem. If any woman out there who thinks she can step up, this is the time to do it. Imagine in my lifetime if we could come together.
Now, what do you got to say about that, Ryan?
I agree. I think that there's always going to be strength in numbers, but unless we figure somebody out that's going to be able to lead this flock of people, that it's just going to be organized chaos.
Yeah.
So you get too many people that have their own agenda wrapped up in something, whether it's biker community, the political system, whatever. You know, that's no good. You got to all come together somehow. You got to find the right person to get behind.
Yep.
So
maybe that person is listening tonight. Maybe that person knows somebody.
What yeah, some know? People are having trouble. Some people are having trouble, Bill. Shirley up north, she's having trouble. She's getting no sound and trying to refresh and stuff.
Oh, okay. Where's Ryan calling from? Ryan, what area are you calling from?
Colorado.
I'm out of Colorado.
I'm not close to the face at the screen. I'm not paying attention to all that, so.
Oh, no, it's all good.
I take short
naps. Tell me more about this bikini wax. That's kind of piqued my curiosity.
What? Wait a minute. Wait a minute. How did we go from political, you know, correctness to bikini wax?
Oh, I haven't been able to bust his balls for a while now. I figure I at least got to get a little jab in there.
This ain't a product that Nora's trying to put out on the shelf again, is it, Phil?
No. Yeah, I could never talk to Bill about that because
no.
He was sick. And then I went by the wayside with it. But I have to give you your tubes of Biker Lube tonight.
No. Oh.
And your T-shirt, Bill.
Oh, okay. All right. Then I had to get out of that hospital, boys and girls. They were doing strange things to me.
Yeah. Well, it's glad to have you back.
It's glad for anybody to see me or hear me or anything. I was so lost 40 pounds. And I had to check myself out of the hospital. I felt you have to get back to a normal routine. You have to have regular bowel movements. You have to walk. That's the only way you get healthy again. You can't lay in that hospital. I don't care what they say. It's not healthy. Plus, there's sick people in that hospital.
Well, yeah, it's so damn depressing. Who wants to stick around there?
It is depressing.
So,
the only good thing about it is, like, at least here, you know, like Phil tells everybody, I have the perfect face for radio, so my being in the hospital didn't exactly hurt my looks or anything.
Well, just so everybody knows, I just got a flash. Flipping off police officers is constitutional, the federal court affirms.
Well, for a time, that was big. That's a big no-no.
All right. It seems a police officer can't pull you over and arrest you just because you gave him the finger.
But you couldn't have built
a federal. A federal appeals court declared Thursday. In a 14-page opinion, the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Second Circuit Court ruled that the ancient gesture of insult is not the basis for a reasonable suspicion of a traffic violation or impending criminal history. John Schwartz and his wife Judy had sued two police officers who arrested Schwartz in May 2006 after he flipped off an officer who was using a radar device in an intersection in Johnsville, New York. Schwartz was later charged with a violation of New York's disorderly conduct statute, but the charges were dismissed on speedy trial grounds. A federal judge in the Northern District of New York granted summary judgment to the officers in July 2011, but the Court of Appeals on Thursday erased that decision and ordered the lower court to take up the case again. The officer who stopped Schwartz and his wife when they arrived at their destination claimed he pulled a couple over because he believed Schwartz was trying to get my attention for some reason. The appeals court didn't buy that explanation. We knew that nearly universal recognition of this gesture is an insult that prized an interpretation of reasonableness.
You know, another point I want to quickly make up in there. No Don't wear a white shirt when you ride the motorcycle.
No.
Laying on the ground. Laying on the ground, that white shirt is filthy. Little experience there, I want to share with everybody.
And if you're a sperm donor, you're going to get ordered to pay child support.
I heard about that.
Yeah, what is that all about?
Yeah.
If you're a sperm donor, find out who you are, you're going to get ordered
It was all over the news this morning, and that's just horrible because, you know, the donors, they're just doing it as an act of good faith to whomever might be childless or, you know, whatever. And it's a donation.
Don't get good money for that. It's not a good faith.
You know, the thing is that I guess the adoptee mom became terminally ill, and she had to turn to the state for a little bit of help. And as soon as she went and filed the paperwork and they were like, you know, name of the father, that's where all the technical red tape came into play. And the donor is knee deep in a little bit of debt with the lawyer he has trying to fight this darn thing. And it's amazing what states in general or any type of, I don't know, entity will do to make a little bit of extra pocket change. You know, that's almost as bad as if you have a closed adoption, the state revealing who your biological parents are and making them pay for whatever. You know, you don't do that. And it also, you know, the exposure on the TV, that's just horrible. That's horrible because that's a private thing. It's a decision made by two people, you know, and it shouldn't be blasted all over the place just because one person became ill and it was beyond her control. She needed help. You know, it's just wrong. It's just wrong.
That guy's getting shafted.
Well, here's the soundbite on that. Hold on.
A Kansas man who provided sperm for a lesbian couple's child is now being asked to pay child support. KYTV has the details.
William Murata responded to a Craigslist ad from a lesbian couple who wanted a donor back in 2009. Now, he agreed to father the child as long as he could relinquish parental rights, including financial responsibility.
The Kansas City Star reports this couple, Angela Bauer and Jennifer Schreiner, signed an agreement with Murata detailing that he would have no parental rights, a seemingly ideal situation for Murata. He initially agreed to be compensated but decided to donate at no charge to the couple. But the problem-free sperm donation was turned on its head after the couple split in 2010 and Bauer became ill. The Topeka Capital Journal reports in the process of Schreiner getting health insurance for her and Bauer's daughter, the Kansas Department for Children and Families requested the name of the father. Because the artificial insemination was not performed by a licensed physician, the state pursued Murata for child support. Sources say sperm donors that donate through a sperm bank are typically protected by the state. But in other cases, that protection isn't guaranteed. NBC reported Bauer was regretful of how the situation played out, saying this was a wonderful opportunity with a guy with an admirable, giving character who wanted nothing more than to help us have a child. I feel like the state of Kansas has made a mess out of the situation. According to the Capital Journal, Murata doesn't blame the couple for how things played out. A judge will hear his motion to dismiss the case on January 8th. For Newsy, I'm Christian Bryant.
Kansas
is pursuing a big government sperm donor to pay child support after a couple he donated to fell on hard times. Angela Bauer and Jennifer Schreiner received.
Yeah, it's just a lineup of all the ones who played it today.
It boils down to this. Excuse my tongue-tiedness. He is not responsible for anything. You know, the rights were relinquished, whatever. You know, and why Kansas, the state of Kansas, is trying to make some form of example or whatever out of him, it's just bullshit. Excuse my French.
Yeah.
What I can't figure out is because, you know, Philip and I have good friends everywhere, and there's a lot of women out there who can't get a nickel child support from their husbands.
Nope.
And they know where the husbands work, but the state's not going after this deadbeat husband, and here's a schmuck who's just trying to help somebody out, and in this case, the state is going after him and going to just ruin his whole life. Even if he's all dismissed, look at the lawyer bills. Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's what he was on the Today Show this morning. That's what he was saying, is that paying for the attorney is like costing him some big bucks because this has been tied up in court for quite a little bit of time.
And yet we've got, again, we've women all across America whose husbands are not paying child support or alimony, and the state knows it, and the state just doesn't, the state chooses not to persecute these people, prosecute these people. I don't know.
Well, Shirley wanted to know if this was the sperm show. No, we're just giving up. That's a news feed.
Well, if people need some, you know, they can contact us at the show.
Oh, God. More bills running around.
Like the chick that was going to do the 50-guy gangbang in L.A., she wanted me and you to be number one and two. And then you argue with me, we'd flip a coin and see who went first.
We couldn't agree, so we never did the movie. I feel kind of bad about that. Phil and I couldn't agree, and neither one of us are in the porn movie now. Too bad.
That's gross. That's not right.
I heard it won an award, too, Bill.
Yeah.
Where's Dr. Love? We haven't heard from Dr. Love.
Well, that poor guy's still trying to recover. Even the mention Dr. Anything makes that poor boy shudder. Because I'm a little paranoid right now. Back into full form, I promise you. Everything's doing good in my life. But crazy enough, I just want to tell everybody, my wife was in a wheelchair for 2 years. She got out of the wheelchair, and I special built this motorcycle, two-wheel motorcycle, like a baby bagger, so her and I could go to Vegas. We come back from Vegas, and I go into a coma. My wife's been in a wheelchair for 2 years. She's walking around for 2 weeks, and bam, what with a cane and everything with that. If I have no more doctors for a while, I'll be happy. But I do, again, want to give credit to all the nurses that were there. I think these people were wonderful people. They cared for me. They fluffed my pillows. You know, I got the sponge baths, got the extra ice cream. Whatever possible they could do at the hospital. They did it.
You mean they gave you stuff you weren't supposed to eat?
They gave me a lot of stuff I wasn't supposed to have. And some orange juice. Well, you can't have it. Hey, some orange juice. All right, Bill, we'll get some orange juice for you. I really think that nurses were what kept my head straight, because the doctors were, they're so busy, they were short. Ask a question, then leave. Well, the nurses were they were there to make sure that I was okay. So it was kind of nice.
Yeah, we got my mom back home 3 days before Christmas. She'd been gone the last 6 months. And we modified the house and we're doing what needs to be done. And, you know, it's good to have her back home.
It just puts the family back to being normal, you know?
Yes, it does.
I'm sure my wife's boyfriends are all disappointed I came back, but, you know, I should have said that. Maybe my wife's gonna listen. Said this. Something happens to me. She's gonna wear black underwear for a week. That's her morning time. Get in deep shit all the way here tonight. All right, then. Enough of that. Maybe she didn't hear that.
Yeah, right.
She has told me on many occasions that if I go first, and obviously I am gonna go first in my lifestyle, she's gonna have me cremated, put in an urn, and put up on the mantle so she can say every Saturday night, "Well, mister, I know where you are tonight, up on the mantle." So,
oh, my God, great.
Well, you know. And, you know, it's not just Phil, it's a handful. I may be a slight handful, too.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Slight handful.
Yeah, and
I don't believe that. I don't believe that for a minute.
Thank you very much. Thank you. I'm sometimes just misunderstood.
That's it. We're all misunderstood, you know? It's not a point of being a handful. It's a point of we're freakishly different.
Well, I really can't discuss these problems I have with men. I need women to sit there, and I think I can relate to women. I think they can help me with my problems.
It's the voice. You have you know, who was it? Rhett Butler in the Gone with the Wind? Am I saying his name right?
Yeah, you said it correctly.
Okay, well, yeah, he had a suave type of voice, and it's your voice. You could talk a rabid dog down. That's the truth.
He had a pretty boy face though too.
Oh, he was a handsome bugger. Absolutely.
That's why he's
in
radio.
Yeah.
Growing up, I never learned to keep my right hand up high enough. And apparently that's why my nose goes left to the right. Apparently there's an art of pugilism which requires defense, and I seem to miss a lot of that defense. I'm going to share, Phil knows the story. The fourth grade, my father had me actually boxing, and my very first fight, the first round was over, fourth grade, mind you, and my father asked me, "Bill, is it your plan to let him keep hitting you in the face till his arm gets tired?" And I got to thinking, what advice is that the father gives a kid? But apparently I never had any defense at all, so I learned that. It's too late now, though. What you see is what you got, boys and girls, so I hope you'll be patient with me. Hey, nice Christmas tree. Phil, show me some Christmas trees. That's kind of nice, you know?
You know,
we made a big deal out of Christmas this year, only because I almost didn't have a Christmas and all that. So it was important for me, for my family to come together. We were extremely emotional, but everybody was just so relieved that I got home in time for Christmas and all that. So that was kind of nice. I want you.
Yeah, and you had some people on to kick your ass because you didn't do what you were told.
Yeah, I don't do a lot of them. Yeah, I don't. Me and whatever advice I get, I'm not real good on advice. I'm definitely not good at being told what to do. But the medical advice and all that, I don't know. I figure it's like the bell curve, you know. Some people are accelerated, some people are slow. You got to go at your own speed and all that. Yeah, I've lost a few bikers this past few months. I'm not going to go through the, you know, depressing and all that, but...
Well, Bill, just so you know, Shirley says that on January 16th, it's her 60th anniversary.
60th anniversary, good for Shirley.
Oh, happy anniversary, Miss Shirley. That is awesome, 60 years, that's incredible.
In this day and age, it's easier to break up a relationship, start a new one. It's tougher to maintain a relationship. It takes a special party.
People give up too quickly, you know? It's like, I don't understand it because I look at my grandparents, my aunts, my uncles, my own mother and father. And nowadays, people, you know, get into an argument or whatever, they just throw in the towel instead of working closer together and becoming an even better relationship, you know? I just don't get it.
My wife and I have a good program. If I come home from the shop or if I come home from arguing with somebody, if there's a problem on the street, if she comes home and feels attention in me, she goes out shopping, leaves me alone in the house. It's kind of hard to have an argument with one person. We figured that out a long time ago. If I come home and the vacuum cleaner's broke or whatever it is and she's in a foul mood, I roll back outside, take off my bike for a cup of coffee. Again, our theory is that if one of us upset, the other ones just leave the house, come back in an hour and start over again. We find it works out best for us. To each his own, though. Some people can argue. I just don't think that in my house we will ever have arguments. I don't want anybody to raise their voice in my house. I don't want anybody to get ballistic in my house. House is a place of tranquility. And if one or the other party is upset, the second party should give that person space. And ladies, if you come over to my house, if I'm in the garage working, leave me alone. Mr. Warmth and Wonderful is out there for a reason. I locked myself in the garage. I got the music on really loud, and I'm working on a motorcycle. That's the way I work the stress out. Everybody's got their own technique. I'm going to tell you what Phillips is, but I don't want to embarrass everybody.
Here we go.
No. Not going to say a word.
Please do, because we got great things while you were gone, like, you know, Mr. Social Butterfly and all kinds of different little quirky things that have come out of it. So please, any opportunity you get to put Phil on display, please do it for us.
Tell her what you thought of that picture, Bill.
Oh, shut up. Oh, my God. Okay, that's it. I'm going incognito for 15 minutes.
Can I ask, again, you're the computer man. I don't understand all this stuff. Did you Photoshop that? How'd you get her clothes off for that picture?
Yeah, I know, huh?
That was amazing, because one second he showed me, you know, it was a black dress or something like that.
Yeah.
And then he Photoshopped in there, and he just took the black dress off. I thought that was amazing. I didn't know we had that technology.
You're wrong. You're wrong, and now I'm going to be scheming to get you on this one.
I was saying, like, wow. Okay, you know, but, you know. I don't want to start no trouble here.
She's gonna take a bow out for a few minutes here, Bill. get composed. So she'll be back.
If you come in to join Philip and I at the Easy Rider Bike Show, if you join us up at Mexico or anywhere at all, you actually will be surprised because Philip allows me to do most of the talking because he needs to run the boards and all that. On the big events, though, unless I'm up on stage. And you and I were up on stage last weekend.
Oh, yeah. Hey, come on up here. I want you to say hello and fucking hands me the mic.
No, I do that shit all the time. I get up on stage, I initiate everything, I drag Philip up. Then I give him the mic, I walk away, because I'm a real pain in the ass.
Yeah.
But Philip actually is the more friendly of the two. If you see both of us, walk up and talk to Philip. He really is easygoing. It's not that I'm not sociable. I just kind of sit off the side, enjoy everything. Philip enjoys talking to everybody. Give me the mic, I'm on stage, and I'm okay.
You know, there's a lot of times, Bill, where like, that time the sheriff showed up, and he said, hey, come on up here.
Come on up here, officer. Come on up on stage, officer.
Yeah. Poor guy shitting his pants. He didn't know what to do.
Oh, man, he left.
Well,
yeah.
You had to go save him, but yeah, he left.
He was trying to shut us down, and after being up on stage with me for a short time, he decided to... I'll just come back later on in the afternoon, guys. Okay, buddy. I think that's why we work well together. It's like the yin and the yang. With different.
So yeah. So Ryan, I saw you had some stuff up there. You're trying to get some stuff for the summertime set up already.
I am. I've got all kinds of goodies I'm working on. of course, I'm always doing little contests to kind of. Not only give the models a chance to learn how to do some promotions, but it also helps to promote my other events. And whoever gets the most people to go to whatever website or whatever, they get a pair of concert tickets or a couple $100, something like that. But the bigger stuff I've got going is another shootout in June. First weekend of June, I'm going to have kind of like what I did last year, but I'm trying to go a little bit bigger. Bunch of photographers, bunch of models, we all get together, have a big old party and shoot. And then I'm taking four models on a four-day trip to Lake Powell for a bikini shoot, not only on the lake, but we're going to go hit one of the top three waterfalls in Colorado, do some fun crap like that. And then going to be getting together for a poker run. There's a documentary that's going to be put together titled The American Biker, and we're going to be putting that together in July. So that'll be filmed and then... released later on in the summer, hopefully.
One of the things about your program I like, now you say it is professional models and all that, but anybody can show up and get a professional job. They don't have to be, say, well, from here I plan to go to Hollywood. Some people will do all that. But the average person can show up and learn some techniques on shooting. They can get a portfolio. If nothing else, it's something they might want to have. Is that correct, sir?
Yes, it is. That's... $25. Let's say you're a model. It costs you $25 to get in. I feed you and give you everything you can drink all day. You show up about 8 o'clock in the morning, and then as many costume changes and photographers as you can get in contact with, you get to work with them. And I've got everything from photographers that just bought their first camera and don't know anything, to some that have been doing it for 10 to 15 years, and we all get together, have a blast, share secrets, share equipment. And everybody walks away with a great portfolio. So,
you had a mother and daughter yet show up? I'm kind of curious.
I've had several. In fact, that's one of my rules. If you're under 18, you have to bring your mom.
Uh-huh.
And so I had a model show up. She was 14. She brought her mom. You know, for the first little bit, they kind of shot next to each other while they figured everybody out.
Yeah.
And then once they figured out that everybody was cool, they split off and got some great shots of both of them.
Outstanding.
So
yeah, I think that a mother that's willing to encourage, if the daughter wants to do this, and the mother's brave enough to say, I'll support you, I think that's fantastic.
Absolutely.
Buddy, but if you thinking you want to do it, here's a great opportunity. $25, have some professional shots taken. God sakes, every time somebody says, Bill, take my picture, I cut off their head. I mess the picture up every single time. Here we can show up for $25 and you have professional people, makeup, shots, poses, backdrop, and all that. That's amazing. I think you're doing a good job, guy.
Well, appreciate it. You know, we had a whole bunch of volunteers last year that brought down, had a couple 1970 Challengers, a couple little race cars, a 67 Shelby. I mean,
they were even trying to climb
the fence. Cool stuff. What's that?
They were all trying to climb the fence to get in.
Yeah. It, you know what? It worked good. The chicks loved it. They had killer cars, and, you know, that gave me people to work the gate and, you know, make sure that we only had people there that were supposed to be, because I don't ever advertise the location other than people that are showing up. Otherwise, people hear that there's going to be hot chicks, and you got more people around that are being stupid than you do actually working.
Let me ask you this question, because this has come up when we've done some magazine shots. Are you comfortable telling a model that this is that you have the wrong makeup on? Your skin tone does not go with these colors. Do you have professional people that can sit down and quietly tell somebody yellow is not your color, purple eyelashes are not you? How do you get somebody so they realize, hey, what you're trying to do is make them look the best?
You know, and that's, it kind of sucks because that's something that you have to do. And I respect them enough to give them an honest opinion, but I do it tactfully.
Yes.
I've got no problem telling them that that color's wrong. But what I'll do is instead of saying you look totally stupid in that color, I'll take a picture of them in the color and then tell them to go change and say, you know what, with your skin tone, let's try this. So they'll go and change, and when they come back, I show them both and say, okay, here's the differences, and this is why I told you to do it. So,
some girls showed up like an orange bikini or something, and their complexion, skin tone, it wasn't it. It absolutely wasn't it. And now taking in comparison, I'm shooting a yellow motorcycle. I don't know why I'd shoot that, but the yellow, the orange, and all that. So sometimes you got to sit down and say, you know what? You would look so much more dramatic. This would be so much more better if we brought these colors together. So we try to, as you're saying, not make a big deal out of it, pointing out to them this could be so much a better shot if you allow the experts to make suggestions.
Right. Especially when it comes to skin tones and bikes, because if you get somebody that's really fair-complected, you really want to shoot them on a black bike or a white bike, because if you put them on anything else that's got too bright of a color, their skin tones all turn into that color.
Right.
And, you know, once they see that, they understand it. But when they're first new and they haven't developed that thick skin and realizing that the photographer's there to make not only him look good, but you look good, you know, listen to them and don't get your feelings hurt. Realize that that's going to help you not look like an idiot down the road if you're in a situation where the guy doesn't know how to tell you. You know, because a lot of photographers won't. They just, you know, they shoot you as you are, and there you go.
You know, good point there. I'm not going to use a photographer's name right now, but we have a good friend who's a photographer. He's a very good photographer.
Yeah.
This man has no ability to communicate with the models. I'm sitting
right
there thinking, no, I can't sit through this set here. This is so wrong. But he doesn't understand, or he doesn't know how to say to them, we need to see about mixing the color of the motorcycle or the car, your outfit, and then you as a person. These three pieces have to come together. It's got to be like a puzzle so we see the full picture.
Mm-hmm.
And
I
like the photographer. I like the guy a lot. He just is, he lacks the ability to sit down and just say, bang. He goes, well, if that's what you want, let's try it. I'm thinking, no.
You know, and I've worked with some photographers like that, and I made the decision a long time ago that it's got to be fun. And
it
so
is,
before I even meet with the model, we've got to talk on the phone for a bit. We usually go get coffee or go shoot some pool.
Yeah.
But I send them a biography questionnaire, and it's stupid stuff, like what's your favorite cuss word, what's, you know, this type of thing, so that it kind of puts them in the realm of realizing that we're going to have a good time and all of this. But plus, when I'm working with them, I know what I can say and not say. And based off of things that they've done and how they answer some of these questions, we've already got the personality figured out. So it makes it a lot easier to communicate that way without them getting all hurt over it.
Mm-hmm. One of the techniques that we do when we're doing the motorcycle shoot is I ask them to bring their girlfriend, leave the boyfriend or husband at home, for God's sakes, but bring a girlfriend, let the girlfriend stand behind the camera, and then I tell the model and then in front of the girlfriend, your girlfriend sees something inappropriate. If she sees something that is not to your advantage, she will stop the shoot right away. We'll make adjustments. It just makes the model feel a little more caring that, hey, well, Bill wants what's right for me. He didn't want to do something tacky and all that. So I think confidence between the photographer and the model, I think, is critical. That's why I like what you're doing. A lot of people don't understand what you're doing. A lot of people listening, what are they talking about? But
I have a lot of people that flat out ask me, well, how do you make any money? Well, I don't make any money. That's the great thing about it is I'm not making any money, but I just networked with upwards of 100 and some people that have all of my contact information that are going to tell their buddies, and that's where I make my money.
Yeah.
So my money comes in over the next year and a half to 2 years from word of mouth, because every once in a while I shuck out some cash or barely make ends meet to put these events on. So plus, they're kicking the ass. I love them. Everybody has a blast. So really, it can't be too bad.
I agree. We sometimes have a small bump in the road with the choice of music at my shop. That's sometimes a little difficult. Whatever you want to listen to. No. I'm asking you, do you like hard rock, soft rock? Do you like country? What is it that, for the background music, I want you comfortable? Now, whatever you want. No, girl, I'm not the one being shot. What I like about what you're saying is you're trying to gather all the information before the shoot. That is a critical issue. I know a lot of people saying, what the hell are they talking about? If you can get that person to flirt with the camera, if you get that person to be comfortable, we're going to have great shots. If they're comfortable, it's never going to come out right, ever.
Mm-hmm. See, I've always got my laptop, so one of the questions on my questionnaire is what's your favorite type of music, so that when they do show up, I can go onto Pandora and it's already playing.
Yeah.
So, it's little crap like that that just makes them a little bit more at ease, and, kind of like with what you were saying, the first few times I work with a model, they've got to have a female. And I tell them, I don't care who it is, but same thing, leave your boyfriend or your husband at home. Because a couple things, first of all, they like to puff their chest out and be a badass, and that goes over like a fart in church. And second of all, they're not going to tell their girlfriend or wife, your ass looks big.
Yeah.
Because they don't want to piss them off, whereas a girl can run over there and do it. Or she can go tuck a strap in or a tag in, whatever, and nobody gets offended.
That's the point. What you said is so important right there. Yeah, it's a little something like that. So, yeah, that is so important. Please go on. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So... yeah, I don't know. I think we got something good going. I just hope it takes off a little bit. We're building up pretty big, so I'm happy about that.
Well, Philip says to me he's really hoping someday you come to Southern California because he wants pictures taken of himself and all that. He's looking forward to that. He likes pictures in Speedo, though. I hope that's not too uncomfortable with that.
I heard about that. The banana hammock situation on the Harley. So, that'd be something new. But, for Phil, I'd make it happen.
There you go, Phil. Your reputation precedes you. Amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's coming up June 1st.
Okay.
And, these little contests and stuff we're doing are just kind of help the girls get out there and get some pictures done. But if I can double last year's numbers and have 40 photographers and 80 models, I'll be in good shape. That's what I'm hoping for.
Hopefully, I know you're going to be awful busy that day, but perhaps if it's like on one of our days, you can kind of have maybe a photographer say a few words, maybe have a model say a few words, a cameraman say a few words. I don't know. Give us a little, a history of what's happening and the different people putting this together so that everybody listening can understand. I mean, you're very articulate when you speak, but it'd be interesting to have some other people say, I'm the model, I'm one of the photographers, whatever. What do you think, Phil?
Yeah.
What do you think, Ryan? Sound okay?
Yeah. Yeah, that works. Now, it is happening on a Saturday because that's about the most time I can get everybody together. But we could sure get something put together where everybody says something. It would just be pre-recorded if that wasn't a problem.
It'd be just great. Yeah, if they like to use the first name or just the full name, whatever like that. Whatever's comfortable with everybody with that. And how are we going to get some flyers out?
He's going to send them to me.
Oh, good. Okay. Good. Okay.
Yeah, once I get those all printed up, I'll get them sent out. I'm still working on what props we're going to have. I'm having a lot of the same cars come back from last year, probably bring some snakes in again because that was a huge hit. And then, we'll see what we can get. Of course, there's always bikes. There's always killer cars. Usually several different fashion designers come down, and I get everybody's measurements beforehand. They come down with a bunch of clothes, and the girls can then be not only spending just a little bit of money to get shot, but a lot of times those photos can go on for an ad campaign for a local company, which does a lot for exposure for these people getting their name out.
I want to stop you 1 second because this is so important, and I'm sure you take care of this, but this drives me crazy. Do not show up for my shoot or any shoot with your hair like $1,000 and beautiful clothes, and then don't shine your shoes. Nothing irritates me more than having a shot, and then in the shot you can see the shoes weren't polished. Either brand new shoes or haven't polished. Why you'd wear scuffed up shoes, I have no idea, but it comes across every now and then, and it just takes away from the whole shot. Sorry about that.
That's fine. The other thing that takes away is, and a lot of models don't think about this because they're getting ready, they gather up all their crap, and they go to the shoot. But they show up in jeans, boots, they've got their nylons or their socks on, and you know, all of their clothes. Well, then they strip down to a bikini to do a bike shot, and you spend hours taking out wrinkles because of pants. You've got imprints of buttons, all kinds of strap line. Mm-hmm. To really help out the photographer, I always tell them, I want you to show up looking your worst. I'd love to see you show up in flip-flops, a pair of sweats that ties, no elastic, and an oversized T-shirt with nothing else.
Yeah.
Because then, you know, we can start shooting you right then. We don't have to wait for your blood to circulate and get your skin going again or have you sit there rubbing your legs because you got wrinkles all over them from your socks.
Yeah, so, and I know that we like having a girl alongside so I can have the girl twist her body a little bit, especially if it's got a wrinkle coming down by the side, by the waist or something like that, or by the boobs. We can twist the body a little bit to take that wrinkle out. That's why I like having a girl to point that out. The model having a girlfriend there to point that out. Because sometimes the angle photographer, we may not see it, but it'll come up in the picture, and I don't want to see it in the picture. So if we can twist the body a little bit, of course, you know what I'm talking about, but people out there go, because people like this guy will make sure the picture is perfect. So what the heck?
Right. And, you know, it helps, too, if you're able to, you know, every 10, 15 shots, walk over and hand them the camera.
I do
that a lot. Okay, that way the things that they think they're doing that are sexy that you don't really know how to tell them, you look like a horse right now, you don't look as sexy as you think you do. So by them looking at the pictures, they're like, oh, okay, I see what you're saying, and they don't get offended by it. So, you know, a lot of that little stuff is just communication between the model and the photographer, which makes a world of difference in the long
run. Hard to do. Not every photographer can do that. Now, we run across a lot of photographers that great photographers, but they don't have the communication ability you have. And that makes the shots like, I've seen 10, 12 rolls of film for a lousy, you know, fourth shot. I'm going, we don't have to be here all day. You, what you're doing as a photographer, you're dragging it on and on and on because you don't have to tell the lady, we're doing this, and it'll look better. You'll look perfect. Communication, as you're saying, is everything there.
And Nora's still here. Her phone's unmuted. I just don't know if she wants to participate.
She's curious to know if the shot. Nora, is that correct?
What?
We're talking about the photography section, trying to get Philip up there for some little G-string shots or something. Is that something you'd like to see?
No. I think Philip in a G-string with a butterfly across his ass would be wonderful.
There we go.
Maybe skinny jeans.
Skinny jeans. Oh, my God. It's all coming back to me now. Remember
you're
all these things.
Good shit again,
I remember all these things.
Yeah. Yeah, skinny jeans will work for him and the pink tank top.
Bye, Miss Shirley. Have a nice night.
All righty there. Yeah.
No, like I said, I'm here. I've just been listening. I'm not interrupting.
Yeah.
Well, good night, Shirley.
Shirley,
we'll see you. Shirley, good talking to you.
Who's available?
I'm hoping this can be expanded because I think you really are providing a great service for a minimal amount of money. I would like to see everybody take advantage of this here, no matter what the age is, 50, 60,
right.
70. If you want a nice portfolio for $25, that's crazy. That's not even the price of film, for Christ's sakes, you know?
No.
So I think that's amazing.
And plus, you get to eat all day. I mean, we had horse troughs sitting around with ice in them that we build up with apples and oranges so the models can be out there and having something to keep their blood sugar going.
Uh-huh.
You know, so, I mean, last year we made $1.22 per person that came through the gate, which was perfect because everybody got a flyer that had, you know, before they showed up, they had to write a biography, who they are, what they do, how long they've been doing it, how you get a hold of them, and a face shot. So everybody that stepped through the door got that booklet. So if they forget who somebody was, they can pull that out, find their name. It's got all their contact information. It just, you know, it went really slick. And it actually gave quite the boost to a few of the photographers that were around here locally. Because,
people
don't have a few
community.
Hundred
Yeah, it's a big community. If we all help each other, it's the best way to go. I've always said that if my friends are healthy, If my friends are wealthy, I'm going to be healthy and wealthy. So I don't have competition. I don't have enemies. I want my opponents, if you would, or other motorcycle shop owners, I want them doing good because I know damn good well if they're doing good, I know I'm doing good.
Right.
So I don't waste my time with trying to, you know, speak evil or ill will towards my opponents. No, no, no. If we're all doing good, and what you're doing is bringing all these people in together, it's fantastic.
Yeah, and, you know, the great thing is, too, is now that we've got this network, all of the photographers that I was there with, I mean, we all work together for a day.
Mm-hmm.
So if I can't make a job or somebody calls me for something I'm not comfortable with, I've got people that I'm more than happy to recommend because I've worked with them, and that saves people pulling out a phone book and just randomly drawing a name. So that seems to help out quite a bit, too. I get a lot of referrals from other photographers as well as I try to send as much business around as possible.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, hopefully in the long run, that all steps up.
If I don't have a part in stock, I will give you a phone number right away of the nearest motorcycle shop, and if he doesn't have it, he'll give you a phone number. So here in North County, where we live in North San Diego County, it's not about us against each other. Let's all try to work together. It makes it better for the customers, and they think, hey, I like companies, motorcycle shops. There's no animosity. They're all trying to work together, which is really not that common in the motorcycle world, or damn in any motorcycle.
No,
yeah.
Yep. Yep, everybody's very territorial about the dollars they've spent on advertising, and when somebody else steps up and gets advertising for free, they tend to get a little bit pissed.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, there's still the same thing in the photography world. We're, you know, trying to make a little bit of a dent, so we'll see if we can do that.
I was in a magazine a while back. I was up on stage speaking, and they had the article, blah, blah, picture me. Well, I didn't run any advertisement in that magazine at all. And somebody who advertised in the magazine called up and complained, why would you put Bill Kennedy's picture in the magazine when I'm paying all the advertisement? And they said, well, Bill Kennedy was interesting. Why would you be, you know, belittle? I don't forget what it was, the Bikers Against Diabetes, I believe it was. Why would you be so petty? You're advertising a magazine, they got me talking about a charity event. Grow up, boys and girls. What Ryan's doing by working together, we'll all be a lot better off, I think.
Yep.
Well, I hope so. You know, I enjoy it. And, you know, you figure you spend a day of your time for free advertising to a ton of models. Can't be too wrong.
Yeah.
So, and then we had that gal the other day that I went out. We literally went out and shot pictures for your guys' website the day before I sent them to you.
Yeah.
And 20-degree weather, and that gal was a trooper. Standing by the river, snow all around, wind was blowing, stripped down to a bikini and didn't even flinch. So that was quite impressive. My fingers were going numb, my nose was snotting all over the place, and she still looks elegant.
Well, she got about 672 hits.
Right on.
So, yeah, you got another one for next week.
I do. I'm actually shooting her tomorrow.
Well, all right. Then skin to win.
You know, we're talking about weather and all that. It was, what, 60 degrees?
66 and sunny today, Bill.
All my brothers are in the cold weather.
It was 30 above when I rode the work.
I'm so sorry for you people who live in the snow and the cold. Although many of my friends, snowmobiling is the best thing in the world. I'm just so grateful that we live in the warm weather because I couldn't take it. There's a saying in Europe, I first heard it, there's no such thing as bad weather, there's only bad clothing. I understand that, but I don't know. Philip and I, in 10 minutes, we can be in the ocean.
Right.
Look out your door right now, we can see the snow in the mountains. We can be there in 50 minutes, an hour at the most. We can be in the desert an hour and a half. Philip and I can be in Mexico in 55 minutes, depending on traffic. Or if Philip and I lean, we could do it in 45 minutes. It's too much for me to consider. I know parts of America are gorgeous. I'm grateful, I guess, I live where I live.
Right.
Yeah, I woke up this morning to 10 degrees with the wind chill factor and making it feel like minus 2.
Honey, I would have never got out of bed.
Hey, you know that picture you texted?
What?
You know that picture you texted me the other day? You driving in the snow?
What? Oh yeah, that was Saturday night.
Yeah, you know what Bill said?
Well, is she fucking nuts or what?
Man, all-wheel drive, baby. It's called use your sensibilities and take it nice and slow and, you know, enjoy Mother Nature. I was in the heat. It was all good. It's when I had to get out of the vehicle. That's when it wasn't so nice. But I always, whenever it snows here, I have to take a venture out into it. And I've been doing that since I was like 16 years old. I just have to be in it as it's coming down. I don't know why. It just is what it is.
We have, like I said, we can be in the show in less than an hour. And I was going to run up and visit a snow last weekend. They said, well, you have to chains. Hey, what state do I got to go to buy chains? I never heard of chains in California. Quite a writer.
You guys don't get earthquakes where you're at?
You know, every now and then, I got to be very, very, they say to us, there was an earthquake of something at 3 or 4 in the morning. I remember in my lifetime one earthquake that I felt. And I'm in San Diego, Philip and I are in San Diego. We're in North San Diego County, almost by the Orange County border, about 30 miles, 50 miles from the border, 30 miles to the city of San Diego. To my knowledge, I felt one earthquake in my whole life. The rest of the earthquakes are always happen in the middle of the night when I don't feel nothing anyway, I guess. I have a brother in Arizona that keeps saying he's going to have oceanfront property any day now once California falls into the ocean, but I'll hang with what I got.
Hey, I have a quick question for you guys. Is it going to be Alabama or is it going to be Notre Dame?
Notre Dame.
Go Irish, baby.
You know, I'm so deep into Notre Dame. I'm really hoping Notre Dame would win. It would be just phenomenal for that.
I used to drive by it on the way to work every day. I lived right down there on the South Bend, Niles, Michigan line for a good little bit. Nice area. It is.
I actually went for my aunt's husband went to Notre Dame with Joe Montana.
Wow, nice.
He was roommates with Joe Montana. So every time they played, we got tickets to go.
Nice.
You know, excuse me if I get this wrong, and please somebody say, Bill, you're off base here. Michael Jackson, the Jackson 5 and all that, what were they from Michigan? Anybody know?
Indiana.
Gary,
Indiana's kind of the hood. That's a dangerous territory right there.
Well, no, back in the day, it used to be fine. Now, it used to be the murder capital.
Yeah,
Chicago, I think we beat it.
Yeah.
I had the Notre Dame football team at my house.
Yeah, I went through Gary, Indiana, and every other building was burnt up. Put the games on now? What? No.
No, she said she had them at her house.
Oh, okay.
I did. The Notre Dame football team.
The whole football team.
Whole football team. They were big boys, let me tell you. Holy crap.
What a woman. What a woman, ladies and gentlemen. The whole football team.
Oh, my nephew had a kegger party, and they were all here.
Oh, my God.
Couldn't, like, move around these guys. I'm only 5'2". These guys were, like, masters.
Well, I don't know if you guys, like, watch NFL or not. I do, but I'm going to share a little tidbit story with you. A person I associate with in the Elkhart, Indiana community, he was a diehard Bears fan. And this little stinker, he took his 3-year-old son to what was then Soldiers Field. And it sat out on the chairs until the game was done and just sat there with this kid. And while in the stadium during intermission time, he purchased his son like a little leather Bears jacket that they sell like in the pro shops in the stadium. Well, he was bouncing his kid up and down, getting attention, and he ended up getting the whole Bears team to sign this jacket.
Oh, cool.
We're talking Mike Ditka, Walter Payton, all the, you know, some big...
From 85.
Yeah,
big, big names. And he had, like, some of the signatures and stuff. He had it appraised and looked at, and the numbers are just, like, phenomenal of what he could possibly get if he auctioned off this coat. Now, this coat is sitting in a glass cabinet under lock and key, you know. I used to goof on him and say, is that thing, like, you know, you got a little bit of heat pouring in there, a little bit of cool, got it all air conditioned, whatever, and he would, you know, he would joke about it, but that was his pride and joy. Yeah, but amazing thing to look at. Like, if you're a diehard football fan, you just, you know, it's kind of startling when you walk on up into somebody's house and you're looking at this coat and in big, you know, print across the chest, it says Walter Payton. It's like, wow, that's sweetness, you know? I mean, it was cool stuff, but that's all I wanted to throw in there.
Well, you know, very quickly, coming from Boston, baseball, basketball, hockey, you know, these were superstars. I came to San Diego, I just kind of lost interest. Our San Diego Chargers are Diego Gulls, our hockey team. I lost all the enthusiasm I had from going to the Boston Garden, going to Fenway. You know,
yeah,
all
you should be a Boston fan. You should still be a Boston fan, Bill. You know?
No, I've given up on them.
Oh.
I am enjoying
watching. Boston Celtics suck.
Well, I'm the person who sits home every Sunday and watches, like, all the games, and I'm throwing my slippers at the TV set, you know, when my Patriots aren't doing what they're supposed to do.
Yeah, like that one game, I'm like, where the hell are they?
Yeah. I don't know, though. I predict this is Stacy's Super Bowl prediction for the 2013 game. It's going to be the Seahawks. And it's going to be the New England Patriots. And everybody keeps arguing with me on that. But you know what? That's what
back
I feel.
That.
Stick it to it.
Seahawks are an outstanding team. I agree with you, Seahawks. I'm not too sure. I agree with you, Seahawks, though. I think they may be. I just don't
know. You know, I got an interesting story, Bill.
Long story
they
short.
The Seahawks are going to surprise everybody. They're going to beat the Redskins. They're going to just
short story.
Creep on up, and then they're going to seek and destroy. So, yeah, I feel it's the Seahawks.
Philip wants to interrupt everybody. He has a short story to share with us.
In 1972, Bill.
Oh, God.
We won the Park District City Championship. We went to Soldiers Field. We played.
Uh-huh.
Halftime, we played a couple of plays, and they threw us off the field. 1973, we repeat. We win again.
Well, who's we?
The team.
What team?
Park Rams.
Okay. These people want to know.
It was called the Shibona Park Rams.
And you were part of the team.
I was part of the team.
Shibona?
Football. Okay. God, we got to drag it out of it.
1973, halftime, we come out on the field. Halftime's over.
That's how old they is.
And you know who told me to get the fuck off the field? Dick Butkus. He came running out and told all of us, get the fuck off the field.
I had to get off the field for him because he's a plant.
That was my one experience with Mr. Butkus.
He was a man's man. There'd be no strange.
Yes, he was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was a lot of giants when I was growing up. I mean, absolute giants. And
why they call them monsters of Midway.
Yeah. They have the illusion of the baseball and the football players. I just don't feel it. And kind of sad.
Well, you know, with Phil telling us that wonderful story of what he did, wake call. And actually, he tells us how old he is. So he's older than dirt.
How old am
I?
I'm not going to say nothing. I'm not.
Philip, before he does not look his age, I am 63 and I really look my age. I've had a hard life, boys and girls.
No, Bill, it's not your fault. You have to babysit the little one.
Spent 10 years in Mexico in a motorcycle club when I couldn't speak Mexican. I've had a history like you people have no idea. But surprisingly, on an up note very quickly, in the hospital, the doctor said that my skin tone is so flexible, it's like a man 20 years younger, and my organs inside, he says, you're healthy as a horse. So maybe I got a few years left in me after all. He said, he said, you drink a lot of water or something in there. You have great flexibility in your skin. So, again, I just want to throw that out there. But it's the face. I told you, I never learned to protect myself against those guys hitting me. I just didn't get that real organized, unfortunately. Sad.
Like I said, how hard is it? You have to sit there and babysit Phil because he gets in trouble all the time.
I would love to once in my life do you all this, just, but I won't. But just, I'm telling you.
Well, that's just like
I'm just telling you. You can't even imagine. No, you can't even. You can perhaps guess. You have no idea. There, I'm gonna say it out loud right there.
You know,
April. Well, I have no idea.
We're
never
going
to understand it, but you know what? He needs to know his place.
No, he is arrogant. He walks into events arrogant. He struts. He has composure.
Didn't you
like
tell me that with confidence?
Well, Philip has quiet confidence. He's not a bully or anything with that, but
he's like the cock in the hen house, you know?
Yeah.
There you go.
He's strutting his feathers. Look out.
Go into
yeah,
some events.
Skinny jeans.
Numbered, and you can see people are afraid. No. So we're going to walk in like we own everything. Again,
that's
I say
it.
That's confidence on our part.
No, that's
well, you
know,
Bill, I got an email from Tony Barger today. And,
nice.
The release date for Dead at Five Heartbeats is April 5th, 2013. It's going to be a limited theater release, but it starts in Phoenix, Arizona.
Uh-huh.
And I'll let you know more of the details soon. So please spread the word, and a happy new year.
Nice,
so
my birthday 10 days later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm the 10th.
That
kind of slow.
How old are you going to be now?
I'm going to be too old.
I'll just say your age. Nobody here is embarrassed at their age.
44?
That's it?
Yeah. I'm all done. I'm all washed up. Look out.
Oh, God. No.
Come down to Mexico for a weekend with us. It'll all come back.
Yeah.
Can you imagine the fun you'll have?
No, I'm taking off in July. I'm going down to visit Flea. Me and a couple of my girlfriends, and we're going during the Island Festival. It's called Cup Match, and a bunch of, like, I guess Ivy League soccer teams go down there, and the island shuts down for, like, 4 days, pretty much. It's one big Mardi Gras happening, and I'm going down there and going to experience one of the biggest events on that little 5 mile long island. So
he's going to party.
Yeah, pretty much.
Just remember, you're leaving America. You're leaving responsibilities. You're leaving guilt. You're leaving everything behind you. Experience.
Don't get in trouble.
Experience new events and new experiences. Be open-minded.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, I mean, we're staying with my girlfriend. She has a house there, and we're staying at her house and just going to do what the people do during Cup Match, and that's barbecue, and they go to all the little, I guess, cafes and stuff that are along the water, and you go see a big soccer match and, you know, all kinds of cool stuff. So I'm game for it.
I hope you leave
trouble.
No stone unturned. I hope you leave no conscience. Leave conscience in America. Be open-minded and say, I'm going to experience this. You have to do it for all of us that can't go with you. All of us that are stuck over here. We want you to say, I'm going to take one for the team.
Oh, I will. I'll take two for the team. How's that?
Pictures. Send pictures.
Yeah, oh, sure, I will.
Take one from the team. Send pictures.
You know me. You know me in pictures. We don't get along well, but yeah, I'll have plenty of pictures. Because they got pink sand beaches down there. You know,
beautiful.
If you walk in the sand, you know, you're right up on it, the sand looks white. But when you back away from it and you're a little bit ways away, it looks pink. And that's because all the coral that breaks down in the water and washes up into the sand leaves tiny little pink fragments. And when you're a ways away from it, it looks all pink. It's pretty cool. So
all of our friends out there, we are talking about going down to Rosarito Beach again in Mexico. We should try to do a big picture thing so they can see what's going on down there.
Yeah. I took some pictures of that already.
We should expand upon that a little bit this year with, I think, I think so. We can, inside the club and on the beaches and, before the party, after the party.
Just today, Bill, the Rosarito Beach wet t-shirt contest that I emceed got 2,000 889 hits today, Bill.
Outstanding.
Wow. Nice.
And most of the comments were on what I was wearing, Bill.
What were you wearing, Phil?
Yeah, I was I kind of curious. Would you mind sharing that?
Yeah, right there. What was I wearing, Bill?
I can't see.
They can't see?
Yeah.
He's got a Speedo on. He's got a little butterfly in the back. Wait a minute, just a minute. He's got something to cover his nipples up. I can't see.
Oh, they're clamps.
Yep. He's got that tramp stamp going on his hind end.
Wow. We should try to give everybody up. Go up in the direction. Down, right there. Let's see this. Okay. All right. Excuse me. Yeah, you know, for those of us, those people that can't go to Mexico, we should try to get pictures crossing the border, checking in the hotel, giving everybody a little something, you know, so they can get an idea.
All they got to do is go to the blog, Bill. They can read the Rosarita Beach Wet T-Shirt Contest.
Well, it's more than a wet T-shirt contest.
There's one. There's part one, part two, and part three, Bill.
Where's that picture with the orange thing? Where's that taken from?
That's at the Bad Ride.
Me and
Willie G.
Willie G. Davidson, yeah. Wearing that orange thing because of association. But okay, that's kind of odd.
You were in an orange thing because the fucking sun was out and you didn't want to burn your head.
Well, I took my old club thing. Anyway, so. Yeah, we should give people an idea what goes on before and after and all. Not just the wet T-shirt and all that, but, you know, let people see what it's like down there. The horses running up and down the beach at night and everything crazy at daytime.
No, that's people, Bill.
Well, people riding horses, people riding people. I don't know what the hell it was. You know.
Oh, my God.
Better share something. Down in Mexico, La Ensenada, and for years we stayed at a hotel, which we're no longer allowed to go to. We had to pick another hotel. It's open-minded. But the first hotel that we stayed going back many years ago had two cement donkeys, life-size, okay,
that's
boys
right.
And girls? And, of course, late at night, people want to climb on their donkeys, and some people want to make love on, you know. You know what? That's all right. We're bikers. Let's have a good time. The owner of the hotel came in, and we had more than one or two bikers trying to do something with the rear end of these cement donkeys. And he said to me, Bill, I want you and your friends the hell out of my hotel. You people are sick. So because of those few people that could resist sharing their talents with the cement donkeys, which I don't, we're now staying at a different hotel. Too bad I missed that hotel.
I missed the donkey.
You know, they're sitting on the cement donkey, guys, girls sitting on top of the guy. Hey, you know what? If that makes you comfortable, what the hell? But
yeah, we're getting some.
To those perverts that had to do the donkey.
And we're getting some comments out of the chat room, Bill, that Bill sounds good.
But we have a nice hotel now. You'll have a good time. We have a nice pool.
Everybody goes up in that tall building to watch and see what goes on because the cops won't let them in.
Oh, man, yeah, yeah.
Well, Bill, you have to, you know, kind of fill the audience in. What do you mean by open mind?
Everybody here has
It's like this, Nora. If you're going down there with us and your wife's kind of prudish, you don't want to stay at the hotel with us.
We have another hotel for you.
We have another hotel for you.
Just across the street.
Just across the street. Now, if the party starts and you come and you're not comfortable with what goes on there, we have another party you can go to.
What I want you to do is if I'm on stage with entertainers, I want you to watch the action. I want you to join the action. What I don't want you to do is say, oh, my God, I can't. That's not for me. So before you come down, we do ask you, you're going to bring your old lady, what she like and all that. And I can respect women that are, you know, conservative and all that. We have a very nice hotel just across the street for you to spend time with your lady or if you have a prudish husband. We want you to have a good time. We'll make arrangements with La Bufadora.
But if
you want to stay at our hotel, why the hell just kick back and enjoy it? You don't have to be on stage with me. You can be close to stage, or you can be a bit towards the back, because it depends on what you think is open-minded.
Right. Just like when we do
I understood what you meant, but maybe others didn't.
Well, I just want to share. You know, we try to I'm not judgmental.
Accommodate.
I'm not judgmental of other people. Everybody should be in their own comfort zone. I've always said that abnormal sex is when one person tries something with a person and one of the two parties don't like it, and the person is trying to make them do something again and they don't like it. If it's not comfortable, that's abnormal. Do something else. If you want to come down with us and have a good time, but you have some restrictions because you're a very, very, very conservative old lady, that's okay. You'll have the time of your life. But if you think that you're more liberal and open-minded, you're still going to be safe with us. It just depends. Do you want to watch the show? Do you want to be part of the show?
Exactly.
I'm open-minded, you know. Just give me the mic and just come up on stage.
You know, it's like when we do the skull ceremony, Bill.
The skull ceremony. Those people coming down to Mexico with us.
That year I won.
And, oh, God, I remember that anyway. if you're going down the first time with us, we have a special ceremony. It's called the skull ceremony for people going down for the first time. And I'd like to tell you about it, but unfortunately, boys and girls, you'll have to come down because we're not allowed to talk about it. I will say this, though. If you're a woman, I will give you a choice of a skull king or a skull queen. If you're a man, you come up on stage, you only get a skull queen because Bill don't play both ways. But for a woman, if you want a woman, if you want a man, I'm open-minded on that. But for the guys coming up, it's got to be a woman only. But I can't discuss more than that. You're in Mexico and you see people wearing a little leather strap and they got a skull. You go, uh-oh, they've been through the skull ceremony. And they won't tell you about the event either. So a little something to look forward to.
Cool.
You know, these people really think that we've gone downhill.
I know.
No, I think you guys realize we're a little bit off base. We're just really off base. Mexico. Can't do none of this stuff in America. They'll lock me up, put me away. You know, sometimes everybody on stage is different. And what I'm doing is I'm trying to read in your eyes. If your eyes say that I'm scared shitless, you know what? We're going to make it so easy. If your eyes say, I'm ready, we're gonna be more open-minded. Now, Philip years ago was on stage for the skull ceremony, and without telling the skull, there was two or three girls.
No, there was more than that. There was like 20.
There was stuff. There was a belt.
There was a belt. I got
whacked in the nuts. Oh, God, I remember that.
They were so worried about me getting hit in the nuts that I disappeared for about a half hour.
I actually I've forbidden people from using belts anymore.
Yeah,
that belt.
So you had to wait till it
not
happened
the belt.
To me.
It was the belt buckle.
Yeah.
Belt buckle smashed his nuts.
Yeah, you had to wait till it happened to me.
He went off stage dying. I go, oh, that's probably not a good idea, boys and girls. But you know what? Again, the ladies just get out of control. So you know, what do I know? But you can come down to Mexico with us, little girls. We'll take good care of you. You don't have to worry about anything.
We got
to
get Ryan down there.
Ryan would probably be somebody that would really enjoy the openness of everything in there.
Yeah.
But again, everybody's got their own agenda. We don't want anybody to be uncomfortable, ever. I never, ever want anybody to be uncomfortable. But if you say, what the hell? I've had women say, Bill, my whole life, I've never got up on stage. I had the time of my life. Thank you. So, to each his own.
And when is this happening?
Pardon me?
When does this happen in Mexico?
When do you want to go?
Well, usually, we have the big at the Rosarito. We have a special ceremony. We will have to be a little concerned because they closed down one of our restaurants.
Oh, they closed down a lot of things after we left that day.
Yeah,
I just got a text wanting to know what skull hitting the
no,
ball.
No, no, no.
Well, basically, I can't tell you.
No, no.
Henry, I can't tell you what happened.
No.
I could tell you I was injured.
Yeah.
I could tell you I disappeared for a half hour with three girls.
And some ice.
I could tell you a lot of things. But I can't tell you actually what happened.
But on the positive side, we did outlaw belts. That was kind of
right.
Right.
We had a band last time. We brought You know, everybody's heard of Carlos Santana. He's actually out of Tijuana. Carlos Santana's cousin has got a band down there, and they were nice enough to play for us, so they were playing all of Carlos' songs and all. That was kind of cool. I love singing along. As you all know, I can't sing, but I love singing along with that stuff there. So we try to have everybody have just a great time based upon
corporate
level. We've got trips to Fox Studios arranged for people, the movie studios, a little trip to the wine country. Maybe you want to see some culture. We certainly can give you culture. We can give you some smut. There's a little bit of everything in there.
You know, Bill, it's like that one time we went, be careful
what you're saying.
We got up that night, we went out. I was out, I couldn't sleep, you couldn't sleep. It wasn't because of
we weren't sleeping together.
No,
all right, just want to get that clear.
What I'm saying is you were down the hall, I was when I went outside, you and I went outside, we were walking down the hall and windows were open.
Oh,
blinds and curtains. We saw someone as strange as shit.
People were just leaving their curtains open for audience, and I'm thinking, well, you know, if that helps, you know.
Exactly.
And then if I'm walking by, it would be rude of me not to look because obviously, you know, just, anyway, again, to each their own. We don't.
And it was pretty funny when they turned around and looked at you and smiled.
Oh, my God, I forgot. Okay, we're back to reality again.
Yeah.
We're back in America now. We're not having any fun at all, God damn it. We're taxpayers, we're family men, we're businessmen, and, we're just going to live in this country and be happy because that's the way it is. Philip and I do go to Mexico a lot, but I want this understood. We would not consider ever leaving this country. It's the greatest country in the whole world. We would not ever consider moving to Mexico or any other country. We think this is the best. The only reason we give kudos to Mexico is because they give us a little more flexibility because money's being spent.
Right.
If I have every single room in the hotel booked, who the hell's going to complain? It's us. And we'll shut the street down, and we'll go to the chief of police, and I will request, or you'll request, off-duty police officers for security. Shut the streets down. That way people won't overfill the hotel, like hundreds and hundreds of people. No. If you're part of the hotel, welcome in there. If not, too bad. Go somewhere else. I can only have so many people before it gets too dangerous. Stuff we can't do. Right downtown Ensenada, beautiful, beautiful streets, beautiful. We have drag races going on. 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
You know, that was funny that day too. When I walked out there, and I just told girls, "Hey, come here, bra."
Yeah, we need something.
We
know,
saw
ready,
bra
get,
that
yeah,
day.
Ready, set, go. Bra goes down. You know, just stuff you can't do normally in America.
No.
But if you want to pay a few bucks in Mexico, quite open-minded.
And a lot of times, Bill, they didn't take any money from us because they got to be part of the action.
You would think that in Mexico, with all those, the nightclubs are open for like 23 and a half hours. A half hour they close to clean up. You would think with all the action going on, those people would be, you know, hardened. Oh, no, they love it. We come down, they're thinking, look at these people. These are freaks, you know. I was going down, I'm trying to think, you know, so many events, so many things to do. We go down to La Bufadora, which is called the Blojo.
Right.
Just there's parts of Mexico which are in the daytime, which are beautiful. It's not all just smut and we do that nighttime. But someday we'll get you all down there. And we may all chip in and buy the hotel. Wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah.
Sounds good to me.
Oh man.
Yeah, we'll give you a job.
Give me a job. I don't even want to know what one of your jobs would entail. I might have to sign some type of waiver to make sure I don't suffer any type of bodily harm.
Come across the border of Mexico, you put yourself in our hands. We're going to take care of you, little girl.
Hey, it works.
90 seconds, my first day back. I really feel good. I worked all day today. I wasn't sure if I'd be too tired, but I feel good. I want to thank everybody for calling in, for making me feel welcome and all that. That was nice of you. You didn't have to do that.
Well, since it's staying a warm day, sun's out and shining, I think we'll take them out with a little Charlie Baker ride.
Ride would be nice.
And then
I hope you all like Charlie Baker, a little southern rock country.
Right.
Yeah.
We'll see all you guys Tuesday.
Boys and
girls.
Right.
We'll talk to you later.
Next Thursday,
I'll
talk again, okay?
Night,
we'll talk
everybody.
About the Easy Rider show this weekend.
That's true.
And we'll see Martine up there. Good.
We'll see Martine. We'll see other people. And we got an invite to go back with Charlie and the rest of the guys.
Oh, outstanding. Outstanding on that. Well, let's say goodnight to everybody. Good night. Let's get some music out to get us out the door.
All right. Here we go. Like to love.